Parados. 14 months before the Emperor's murder. In the myriadic year of our Lord, the 10,000th year of the King Undying, our Resurrector, the full pitying prime, the Reverend Daughter, Herohark Nona Jesimus, sat on her mother's sofa and watched her cavalier read. She idly fretted her thumbnail into a decaying brocade skull on the cover, carelessly destroying in a second long years of labour by some devoted anchorite. The mandible unravelled beneath the pad of her thumb. Her cavalier sat very upright in the study chair. It had not taken anyone of comparable bulk since his father's day, and was now in danger of a final fatal sag. He had tucked his considerable frame tight within its borders, as though breaching them might cause incident. And she knew full well that Autus hated incident.
"No retainers, no attendants, no domestics," read Autus Nigenad,
folding the paper with obsequious care.
"Then I will wait on you alone, my Lady Harrowhark?"
"Yes," she said, vowing to keep her patience as long as possible.
"No Marshal Crux, no Captain Iglamine?"
"In fact, no retainers, no attendants, and no domestics," said Harrow, losing her patience. "I believe you've cracked the elaborate code. It will be you, the Cavalier Primary, and me, the Reverend Daughter of the Ninth House. That's all, which I find suggestive." Autus did not seem to find it suggestive. His dark eyes were downcast behind their thick black lashes, the sort Harrowhark had always fancied you might get on some nice domestic mammal, like a hog. He was perennially downcast, and not out of modesty. The faint crow's feet trampling each eye were lines of sadness. The fine creases at his forehead were a careful act of tragedy. She was glad to see that someone, maybe his mother, the mawkish Sister Glorica, had painted his face as his father had once painted his own, with a solid black jaw to represent the mouthless skull. This was not because she had any especial love for the mouthless skull, as paint sacrament went. It was merely because any jawed skull he affected became a wide white skull with depression. After a moment, he said abruptly,
"Lady, I cannot help you become a lictor."
She was only surprised that he dared to offer an opinion. "That's as maybe."
"You agree with me? Good. I thank you for your mercy, Your Grace. I cannot represent you in a formal duel, not with the sword, nor the short sword, nor the chain. I cannot stand in a row of cavaliers primary and call myself their peer. The falsehood would crush me. I cannot begin to conceive of it. I will not be able to fight for you, my Lady Harrowhark."
"Autus," she said, "I have known you my entire life. Did you really think I entertained any delusions that you could be mistaken in the dark by a dementia-ridden dog raised with no knowledge of bladed objects for a swordsman?"
"Lady, it is only to honour my father that I call myself a cavalier," said Autus. "It is for my mother's pride and my house's scarcity that I call myself a cavalier. I have none of a cavalier's virtues."
"I am not sure how many times I must relay to you how truly I am aware of that," said Harrowhark, picking a tiny fragment of jet thread from her fingernail. "Given that it has constituted 100% of our exchanges over the years, I can only assume you are coming to some new point and begin to feel excitement." Autus leant forward on the edge of his chair, his restive, long-fingered hands locking together. His hands were big and soft. All of Autus was big and soft, like a squashy black pillow, and he spread them open, beseeching. She was intrigued, despite herself. This was more than he had heretofore dared.
"Lady,"
ventured Autus, voice deepening with timidity,